doing well. Everyone's doing well. That's good. Do we need the back lights on there? You guys okay? You're not feeling like you're in the dark? Excellent. Fantastic. Last week, Jazzy started talking about Isaiah 54, and she was talking about enlarging and preparing. I just felt that I needed to just stay on that verse a little bit more this week as well. So I've got it up on, we will get it up there. So we'll just have a bit of a read of it, and then I'm just going to talk from different aspects of it. So it says, "Sing, O barren," some of your translations will say, "O barren woman, you who have not born or had child, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Next verse. "For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." And verse 5. "For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth."
Amen.
Amen. And it goes a lot more than that, but that's where I decided to stop it. But what a great verse. Just if you can just pull up verse 1. It starts off by saying, "Sing, O barren woman," or "Sing, O barren." Interesting thought. When I looked at that verse, I thought, "Sing, O barren." She's childless. Hasn't had a baby. Obviously, has been marked with a title because she's got no child. So, in those days, there would have been a little bit of looking down upon people who were not able to have children. And it tells us here, the Lord is saying to her, "Sing, O barren woman." I love it because, and you've heard me say this, but "Sing, O barren" says to me that faith doesn't deny the reality. It doesn't look at the reality and deny it or cover it up. It acknowledges it. "Sing, O barren." You know, the lady obviously hasn't had a child, right? But the Lord is saying, "Sing." Shout aloud," I think is the next verse. "Break forth into singing and cry aloud." He's obviously beginning, the Lord is beginning to instill an idea that things can change. Things don't have to stay the way they are. Things can be very different. And he's giving the idea that we can look at our reality, but we can turn around and say, "You know what? It can change. And I'm going to praise the Lord and I'm going to believe him for what is coming. I'm going to begin to prepare my life and get myself organized for what's coming down the track. But I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm not going to live with that guilt and that shame and condemnation." Sing, O barren woman. What are you believing for in your life? What are you actually involved in, perhaps? Your business, your work, your family, your community. What are you involved in that you wish you would see something change or different? That you wish that something would just turn around, that God's blessing would be. What are you believing for? Because I want to encourage you, just like it says here, give it to the Lord, acknowledge what it is, and then begin to just trust God and say, "Thank you, Lord, because it's going to change. Through you, all things are possible." What is it that you're believing for? What is it that we're believing for? We're believing to see a lot more people, but to see people come into the space of seeing their calling realized in their lives, in our lives, that we walk as sons and daughters of God, Not just when we're together, but when we're outside, we're in the community, when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're going shopping, that we carry the kingdom and because of who we are, what we know we are, sons of God, we release the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That's what I desire to see. Yeah. I want to see more of it. I want to see more people coming in. It doesn't matter if they're young, middle-aged, old. It doesn't matter. That we grab a hold of God's calling for each and every one of our lives, and that we rise above, and that we begin to realize that heaven flows through our lives to earth, and that we can be the channels for the Lord to flow through. Sing, O barren woman. Praise God. Faith acknowledges the reality. It doesn't deny it. It even says, you who have not fallen. Where's that verse?
First line.
You have not fallen. That's right. Mine's on the second line. Yeah. Yes. So it acknowledges the reality, but it's telling us to rise above our reality. Faith looks beyond our past and our present. It looks forward. It visualizes what the possibilities are. It directs us to the possibilities, to what God is wanting to do. But it doesn't tell us to get stuck. It doesn't encourage us to just look backwards all the time or to look at our now with no hope. It's encouraging us to look beyond, look forward. Faith sees what will be. And what's it say? For more are the children of the desolate. For more are the children of the desolate. The desolate's the one who hasn't had children. It's saying, for more are the children of the desolate. That's an interesting thought. What a mind job that would be. Your reality says one thing, it shows you one thing. But in God's perspective, he's trying to help us to realize in the spirit, there's another reality. There's another thing that's in front of us. We may not be able to see it. We may not be able to touch it physically, but spiritually, it's there. Can you see your situation changing or getting better or expanding and growing? Can you see the thing that you want to step into? You may not even be in it yet. Can you see that door opening and you walking through it? Can you see it? Because here, sing, O barren, and then the third line, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate. Have it in your heart. Have it in your mind. What is it you want to see? What is it you are believing for? Well, then that is the reality that you are stepping towards. But Robbie, I can't see it. It's not there. I don't see the fragments even to kind of hint at the idea that we're going in that direction. No, you're right. It is a little bit sparse, isn't it? Might have to put, you know, triple the strength glasses on perhaps to see it. But the scripture tells us it's there. It's there. The blessings and the good things, even though God showers us with blessings all the time, the blessings are upon us, okay?
Yes.
We walk in it.
Yes.
But he's wanting us now to put our faith in action that says we are going to go towards that direction. We are going to go there. We're going to see it happen. Faith is not just only convinced, but it anticipates as well. You know, we can say, hey, man, praise the Lord, in our Christianese language. We can say, yeah, God is good, unreal. But do we really believe it? Are we really anticipating the changes, the progress made, the time to perhaps work and put our hand to the plow a little bit? Do we have that in our hearts? Are we really anticipating? Are we really wanting to see the things that God wants to do in our lives? You know, I'm guilty of this, but a lot of times, I mean, I've been in church since 1980, July of 1980. So I've been in church all this time and gone to a lot of meetings, a lot of conferences, a lot of everything. I even listen to a lot of podcasts even to this day. And a lot of times, obviously reading a lot of books and the Word, and you read stuff, you hear stuff, and you're like, oh, take the world on, you know, unreal. And, you know, I can believe like that, I can agree, I can consent, but am I really anticipating, am I really putting myself in a position where I'm going to see it happen because I'm moving towards it? I find that a lot of times in church there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the, you know, goosebumpy stuff. But I don't think I can repeat it, mate. It's one of those things that just happens for the moment. But, you know, like, if we're going to step into it, let's really step in. And let's let our hearts be so overwhelmed that we're anticipating. And with that anticipation, that obviously we put things in place that Jazzy talked about last week, preparation, you know, stretching, all of those sort of things. In verse 2, I'm not going to talk a lot about verse 2, but in there's a little list, and you can look at it on there, but there's the word enlarge, stretch out. It tells us, do not spare. In another translation, it says, spare no expense. Lengthen, strengthen, expand. You know, it's really cool that this passage is here, because in verse 1, we're seeing that there's a bit of a vision thing happening. Your reality says one thing, but the vision is a completely opposite. And now verse 2 is saying, so now to make verse 1 come about, we need to do some stretching. We need to do some strengthening. We need to do some lengthening. We need to expand. We need to spare no expense. Put our money where our mouth is in some situations. Put our time where we can, our efforts, our knowledge, our experiences, put it all in. Because if we're going to see verse 1, if we're going to do the woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, all that, well, then verse 2 also needs to be part of it as well. So it's the feet on the ground. It's getting Tomo to come over your place and with his hammer and nails and you know, to help you stretch your place, you know. Thanks, Tomo. But that's why verse 2 is there. It's there because of verse 1, because of the vision, the dream. But then we see in verse, I'm just going to jump around a little bit, but yet in verse 4, the beginning of verse 4, Jazzy, if you can go there, it says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. Why is the do not fear there? Why does that seem to come into the discussion, do not fear? It's because fear is what will cause us to go into unbelief or into hopelessness. It will undo that whole idea that God is saying, sing, O barren woman, even though your reality is saying one thing, but sing, worship me, thank me, and begin to believe for what's forward. And now in that belief, prepare yourself, get yourself organized, because it's going to come. But in verse 4 it says, but don't fear. Don't fear. Why? Well, it's telling us that if we don't fear the things that we're going to overcome, you know, that we'll not be ashamed, that we won't be disgraced. But you look at the opposite to that, that if we do fear, there will be shame. There will be a sense of disgrace, all of those things. So fear is a nasty little, you know, mosquito when you're in your sleep and it's buzzing around your head waiting for that opportunity to just, you know, land on you and do its thing. But in the process, you hear this little and it's dark, you can't see what's going on. And, you know, Jazzy then wakes up, there's a mosquito in here. I know, just put the sheet over your head, it's all right. Don't worry about the mosquito. And but that's what fear is like. It's like that mosquito. It takes all your attention. You're meant to be rested in bed. Nice. Oh, it's a cool night. It's nice. Your body's feeling great. Your bed is really nice, soft, whatever. And, you know, but then this mosquito gets in your sleep. All of a sudden, you've broken your rest. You're not at peace. And now you're all getting stressed out. And you're thinking, oh, I've got to flick the line. Oh, I've got to jump out of bed. And I've got to find this thing. I've got to swat it out. And then that takes another how long it takes to deal with that. But then you try to go to bed once you've dealt with it. And then you can't go back to sleep properly. And then it's, next you know, you've got to get up ready to go to work or come to a service like this or whatever it may be. And you just don't feel good for that morning or for the rest of the day. All because of that little mosquito. That little thing that just took all our attention. Fear does the same. It takes our attention away from what the Lord is wanting us to step into. He's wanting us to be at rest. He wants us to be at peace, yet be excited, just thanking him and believing him for continued guidance and direction, but just being rested. But when fear comes, it removes that rest. It takes that joy away. And we've got to be on our guard when it comes to fear. Fear is a trap. It's a snare. And it's set by the enemy. And he doesn't have to do much to create fear. He doesn't have to do hardly anything. He just has to say, what if it doesn't happen? And he could say it nicely, I bet. What if it doesn't happen? What if you're going to be in this position for years to come and it still hasn't happened? And it's, you know, it's a reasonably okay question. But if we look at the question and take it to heart and allow it to just dismember the faith, the excitement, and the belief, well then, the enemy's had his day with us, hasn't he? And we've fallen into his trap. It's a trap. His innuendos, even his what would seem like questions that are said with wisdom, are all designed to pull us away from what God wants us to believe in. We know that this world is here because of a supernatural world. It was a supernatural world that created this physical world. We go back to the supernatural world. But while we're here, sometimes we forget of the coexisting world we are living alongside of. And so we struggle to realize that the supernatural world is wanting to have its way through this material world, through this physical world. But we struggle to see that. We struggle to believe that. And so we're at war when it comes to the things of the spirit and things in the natural. Jesus. In verse 3, it gives us some thoughts. Well, we'll continue with verse 4, but it gives us some other thoughts there. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. When we are living a life of faith, when we are living a life of trusting in God and just worshipping and thanking God, the result is, and the rewards are, that we no longer have to walk a life of shame and fear of criticism or judgment. The barren woman, because she didn't have children, she was being judged. She became a person that was, you know, placed on a lower level in society. She would have had to endure criticisms and innuendos and the looks and just people leaving her out of their society or their communities. And she would have had to live a life that she just felt like she was second best or second rate. Right? And yet in this verse, it's telling us that as long as we don't fear, not only don't we fall into these things again, but it tells us that, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth. There comes a time when the memory of the pain that we carry, just the struggles of that kind of thing, it'll eventually go. Not just go, we'll forget about it. We won't even remember that we lived like that or that we went through that. Now, that's a nice thought, isn't it? Now, we know when we get to heaven, it's going to be like that. It tells us that we're not going to be dwelling on the negative at all. It's just going to be like, whoa, this is unreal. But in verse 3, so if you go to verse 3 there, it says that your descendants, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. It's giving us what will happen. And then right in the middle of that, do not fear. Don't break the cycle, right? But the Lord is showing us that the descendants will inherit nations. We will see the answer. We will see God's blessing poured out. We will see our lives changed and transformed as we apply ourselves. We'll see the effect of our lives touching others. It's not just about us receiving it all to ourselves. It's about us receiving and giving it away. So it goes beyond us. You've heard me say in the past, you know, if we need healing or get prayer for healing or we get healed, that's fantastic. Wow, awesome. But now that you've been prayed and you've been healed, how about you pray for someone else for their healing?
Yes.
And allow the good things that have come to you flow from you to them and that we pass it on. This is the thing I'm talking about. Just constantly pushing the boundaries, growing, moving forward. And when you look at verse 5, and I love verse 5, it says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Now, if we looked at those lines, broke them up a little bit, for your maker is your husband or bridegroom. Who's our bridegroom? Jesus. Jesus is our bride. Who's the bride? The church. We are his bride. Right, so for those of us that are married, when we found our brides or our grooms, there was no one else, hopefully, that we were focused on beyond our partners, correct? No, I had to say that, yes. Don't know these days, you know? I won't get started down there. But the thing is, when we found our partners, there was no one else. And you would do everything in your ability to protect your relationship. You wouldn't let anyone else come up and say anything stupid or try and do anything stupid or if someone tried to make a move on Jazzy, I'd be like, hey, what are you doing there, dude? What are you doing? I'll give you a shovel and you can start digging your hole now. What do you reckon, kid? Does that sound pretty cool? I reckon that sounds really cool, actually. That's not love. Who said it's not love? It's love for my bride. Well, if you get with a bit of fun there, for your maker is your bridegroom or your husband. For your maker. Right? Now, this is at the tail end of all the verses that we've read. It's telling us that if we believe in him and if we trust in him and if we put the things into place that he's told us to do, to just worship him and get excited, but also to plan and seek for his guidance and everything else. It's saying here that that because of his intense love for the bride, for us, nothing's going to get in the way. Nothing's going to get in the way. And what a lovely line. And then the next line tells us, the Lord of hosts is his name. So let's break down the word host, the Lord of the angels of heaven. And another translation calls those angels of heaven the Lord of the warring angels of heaven. That's line number two. Line number one is his intense love and protection of us, making sure that we're protected. But line two is also telling us that he's in charge of all the angelic that would make the difference and help us to ward off and to fight off the enemy that would try and change what is happening in our situation. He's the Lord of them as well. Wow. By this point, we're thinking, how can we lose? How can we not achieve what he puts in our hearts? Hey, for your vision, there's no way that you cannot achieve this. All of us. And then it says your Redeemer, you can put another word instead of Redeemer, Deliverer, is the Holy One of Israel. The very one that has brought us out of the place of darkness into the place of light, our Redeemer. If he did that for us, he's going to help us in our times of need, in our times of troubles, especially with the stuff that we're moving towards towards in vision and believing him for. And then it finishes off by saying, he is called God of the whole earth.
Amen.
When you read this, you can actually see it's Jesus all along, can't you?
Yes.
There is no question. You can just see that's talking about Jesus all the way. And, God of the whole earth. Man, I just want to say to all of us, and I'm really saying it to me, it's just a good excuse for me to hear me tell me that we've got everything to believe for. We've got everything to get excited about.
Yeah.
We've got every reason to believe, no matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the enemies that we've got to deal with. But then we've got to say to ourselves, well, time, you know, am I impatient? Jazzy, am I impatient?
Yes,
yes,
and
yes,
so am I.
Yes, I'm impatient. I know I'm impatient. I admit that. A lot of people are impatient.
Sometimes,
you know, but there's people in the scriptures that are impatient too. But somehow they've got people around them that keep the feet on the ground. You know, dude, don't run out to war yet. Not yet. We can take them. No ways. And I've totally lost my thought there.
Oh, you know, takes time.
Takes time. Yeah, I know I said it takes time, but I just can't remember where I was going. But we've got every reason to believe that what we are believing for, personal things, community things, church things, business things, whatever it may be, that we can rest assured with these promises in the scripture, he's with us. He'll protect us. But we've got to play our role. We've got to trust him. And in trusting him, we've got to honor him and we worship him. We say, God, you're amazing. You're cool. You're unbelievable in this world. But man, this is great, right? And then just keep walking in that day in, day out. Will we have problems? Of course. Will issues arise? Absolutely. Why? Because you're in there. The issue is going to come from you too. Yeah, we agree with that, don't we? So we, you know, people are involved. Okay, we know we're broken vessels healed, but we're still going to transform our thinking to come to that place of receiving that fullness, that change, that transformation in our minds. Our hearts are fully changed, right? But it's our our minds, that needs to be transformed. So we've still got things there that we need to bring into alignment with the Lord. Yeah?
Yeah.
And so until that happens, as that's happening, that's part of our journey, let's just keep believing God. Let's keep talking to each other. Let's relate to each other the things that we're believing for but are struggling in. That we can together, you know, just say, hey, let me just pray with you. Let me agree with you that, you know, God's going to have his way and that God will give you the wisdom for the next step, right? We can pray together. We can encourage each other. We don't have to make announcements up here about it. But as long as we are doing the right things in the plan of God, we can encourage and inspire and strengthen one another to see us all head down that track towards that vision, that call. The answers are coming. They're coming. The answers are coming. I just feel that's a word for someone to take a hold of. The answers are coming. But let's praise the Lord. Let's not live in fear. And let's just put that all aside. In Jesus' name. Whoa, sorry guys, I'm really late. I didn't look at the clock, sorry. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your encouragement in Isaiah 54. And we commit our lives in all facets. Lord, we are wanting to walk in the into the blessings, into the authority, just into the goodness you have already prepared for our lives. Help us all, Lord, to overcome those obstacles, to begin to shut down those voices of fear and of doubt and of any negative thing that's trying to pull us off the path, Lord. I just commit that to you, Lord. Father, I pray that continued doors of opportunity would open for us.
Yes, Lord.
People's lives would begin to open to us, that we can inspire them, encourage them, speak of the good things you've done in us into them, Lord, and see people's lives changed and transformed. We just commit all of this to you, Father. We thank you that we can just say we worship you. We praise you because you are amazing.
Yeah.
And you are worth following.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.